Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. Westview, I'd invite you to follow along as I read aloud these words from the book that we love, John chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick up it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Amen. Do you want to get well? Can I just ask, does anybody else find that to be an odd question for Jesus to ask? I mean, he's standing amongst a great number of people who have gathered and congregate at this pool that is believed to be a place of healing. He's amidst all these people who are rushing into these swirling waters so that their ailments might be relieved. He's addressing this question to a man that has been paralyzed, most likely for his entire life, 38 years, life expectancy about 40. And to this moment, in this context, in this setting here, Jesus asks this question: do you want to get well? Pardon me if I'm a little bit like, really, Jesus? It seems like a question that does not necessitate being asked. And I think what adds to sort of the preponderance of this is the fact that Jesus initiates this conversation and this question. Did you notice that here? This is not in response to any request, right? This paralyzed man, nor did anybody else that had been by the pool there, none of them came up to Jesus asking and pleading and begging for healing. Does this seem odd to anybody else? Jesus says, "Do you want to get well?" And yet, Westview, I would invite us to consider that this is a question each and every one of us needs to wrestle with. Regardless of our physical or mental or emotional health, regardless of our age, regardless of the length of our walk with Jesus, regardless of any other external factors that we could possibly name, this is a question we need to ask. I mean, it's a question that any of us might come up with an instant and an obvious answer. Of course we want to be well. And I'm going to be honest with you right from the gate this morning. I hope we get there. I hope that is our answer. I hope we end up there. But I'm going to tell us that before we can ask and answer that question of Jesus, we need to explore exactly what it is that Jesus is actually asking. And the deeper meaning that is a part of this sign that John provides in his gospel. So let's start at the very beginning of this passage. It doesn't say how long, but apparently some time has passed since the end of chapter 4, where we were at last week, the last sign and this sign. Some time has passed, and John tells us that Jesus is back in Jerusalem for an unspecified Jewish feast. And while he's here in Jerusalem, he finds his way to the Pool of Bethesda, just north of the Temple Mount, a place where those who are unwell, where they gather. I've been to the Pool of Bethesda in Jerusalem, and when I'm there, I look at it and I can't conceptualize it. So what I would rather do, rather than giving you a picture of some artifacts and ruins, I want to give you an artist depiction of what this looked like. So you see here kind of two pools, and you see the five covered colonnades, you know, on one on each side, north, south, east, west, and one running down the middle. That's how you come up with five colonnades. And if we go to the next picture there, we'll take all the words off. You can kind of see in there, there's a pool in there, two pools in there. They're divided a little bit. These pools are deep enough that we could go swimming in them. The pools are given water by what's called a subterranean stream. So subterranean meaning an underground stream that's coming from a spring elsewhere. It comes underneath and it provides the water that fills up the pool. And at times, that subterranean stream would be rushing and flowing in such a way that the water on top would ripple or bubble up. It gave the appearance that the water on the top was stirring. And the secular thought of the day was that some sort of religious being, maybe an angel perhaps, was stirring the waters. And the common belief was that the first person who entered into the waters when it was stirred up, that they would have healing. Now you can picture if you have all these people who are unwell and you have to be the first person in the waters. We don't have to imagine too hard what this looks like, right, when the waters start to stir up. I don't know if you've ever watched this scene in The Chosen. They do a great job demonstrating the chaotic nature of this. I don't think we have to think too hard. All we have to do is think to Black Friday. Who are my Black Friday people who wake up at the, I don't even know what time, to go to the store at whatever time a.m. when the store's open in order to get the must-have deals, right? We got to rush in and get there. And so we're pushing and elbowing and clamoring our way to the front to get where we're going to go. I mean, does this look familiar to anybody? This is the image that comes into my mind when those waters in the Pool of Bethesda start to stir and everyone wants to be the first one in the pool. Why do they rush to the waters? Because the blind and the lame and the paralyzed, those with ailments, they want to get well. And at the Pool of Bethesda, Jesus sees a particular man lying on the ground. And did you notice? Someone informs him about this man. He learns that this man has been paralyzed for 38 years. I'm wondering, anybody be willing to admit you're 38 years old? Anybody? Oh, I see a couple in the back. Thank you, Joel and Sam. That's your entire life. And now everybody knows how old you are. Yes, thank you, right? 30. That's their entire life. It's likely his entire life. He's likely been at the Pool of Bethesda for a long time. He's well known. He's become a resident there. Some scholars believe that he is the kind of fame that you don't want to have. Can you hear it? There's that guy over there. He's been there his whole life. 30, can you believe? 38 years. And there he is. Such a sad situation. I mean, can you hear the whispers? And can you see the lips? And the slow, sad shake of the head. And what's worse for this guy, not just the notoriety around this, is that he wants to get well. But he can't make it down to the water when the waters are stirred up. And so given his lack of mobility, someone always beats him to the water day after week, after month, after year, for all those years. And it's what makes Jesus' question almost preposterous. He says, do you want to get well? Of course he does. And his response to Jesus gives us a glimpse to the cynicism and to the defeat that has crept upon his heart. He really does not answer Jesus' question, and yet his response gives us an insight to where his head is at. Sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the waters are stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. So Jesus tells him to get up, to pick up his mat, and walk. And without hesitation, the man hops up and walks. Which, according to John, he tells us that this leads to another complication. He said the day that Jesus performs this miraculous healing is the Sabbath. The healing on the Sabbath apparently is not the biggest concern for the Jews who see the man. This is, don't miss it. This is a welcome mat that obviously we just got and will adorn our house after winter is fully done. And what I just did broke the law. Now, not just, you know, maybe they're mad because it doesn't say shalom instead of, you know, it says hello, right? That's not the law that was broke. But I just broke the law. Did you see it, what I did? Right? Now, didn't break the law in the U.S., didn't break an Iowa law or even a Waukee law, or, mind you, didn't break the law of God, but I did break the laws on top of the laws on top of the laws. The extra rules that the Pharisees would put into place to ensure that they, along with others, would not break any of the commandments that God gave his people in the Old Testament. See, the Pharisees, what they did in order to thwart any and every hypothetical possibility of possibly breaking any of the 1613 laws that could possibly be out there, the Pharisees came up with all these extra laws, and they insisted on them and enacted them and enforced them that you couldn't do all these other things, so that this action, picking up a mat, all of a sudden became a breaking of the law. Because in picking up the mat, I am now working on the Sabbath. And the Jews bust this newly healed man for this violation. Now, why did the Pharisees do that? Well, I would argue, in a sense, they created all those laws on top of laws on top of laws because they too wanted to be well. Not in the same sense of a physical sense as the paralyzed man, but they too wanted to be well. They did not want to succumb to sin. They did not want to have separation from God. And so they put in these stringent practices in order to avoid law breaking. They wanted to be made well by adhering to the law. And the man who has just been healed, he's innocent enough in this regard, right? Jesus told him, pick up your mat and walk. He's just doing what Jesus told him to do. And it leads to an exchange that we read about here. And what we find in this exchange is that this man who is healed doesn't even know who healed him. So here's where we're going to pause just for a moment. And I want us to refocus ourselves just a little bit. And I want us to refocus back around that question that Jesus asks. Do you want to get well? I would say in this passage so far, we have seen two answers of yes. I mean, the man wants to get well. He wants physical health. And he's looking to the waters of Bethesda to provide it. And we see the Jews, right, along with the Pharisees, they want to get well. They want spiritual health and are willing to do a strict adherence of the law in order to provide it. And I don't know, you can help me out with this morning. I have a hunch
that if I would invite us to, I'm not going to, don't get all worked up here just a second, but if I would ask you to turn to your neighbor left or right in front of you, behind you, and you would ask each other that same question, do you want to get well? My hunch is this, is that most of us, if not all of us, would say, yes, we want to get well. And likely we would say yes for a variety of reasons. Some of us would maybe resonate with the paralyzed man here, that we've got a health concern, that we would say, yes, I would like to get well, right? This back that just keeps acting up on times, yes? Some of us would probably say, yes, I would like to get well in a relationship with a significant other or a child or a lifelong friend, that we're just kind of at odds with each other right now, and that relationship needs cementing. Yeah, I want to get well. Or maybe some of us, we would say, yes, I want to get well in my finances, right? I'd love for that bottom line to be a little bit heftier, and I'd like there to be more black than red on the monthly budget. Or some of us would say, yes, I would want to get well because my heart is just anxious in these tense times right now. Or some of us would say, yes, I want to get well. I want to see the fighting of injustices that are pervading and frustrating our society. We would say, yes, we want to get well, I would guess, for a whole dozen more reasons. And let me assure us, friends, it's good. It's okay for us to say we want to get well. I mean, we want things to be right. We want to be restored and reconciled and redeemed. And I would even say, we pointed it out that it's a little odd that Jesus initiates the question here, but I think there's some comfort in that he offers to the paralyzed man, do you want to get well? Because we can also imagine Jesus inviting us, asking us, do you want to get well? And so we can ask ourselves that question. But I want to offer to us, Westview, that as we look at this passage, that what we've seen so far in this passage, it compels us to consider this. Where are we looking to get well? The paralyzed man was looking to a mystical and magical belief about the waters of Bethesda for physical healing. The Jews, led by the Pharisees, they were looking to a strict adherence to law for spiritual well-being. Friends, where are we looking for our desire to be well? Are we looking to the beliefs and the practices of this world that promise to satisfy our longing and our needs? Or are we looking to rules and regulations of doing all the right things and trying to achieve some sort of sought-after perfection? Or are we looking? Could we look to Jesus? Looking to Jesus as the one who can make us well. I think now is the moment that I want to make us aware of a significant aspect of Jesus' question that we haven't yet talked about. Because I believe that this understanding about his question has the potential, and I would say even should, dramatically reshape our concept of what it means to be well. So Jesus asked the question, we've heard it many times, do you want to get well? And the word there for well, yes, does imply a healing or a betterment of a current situation. And on top of that, that word carries the connotation of wholeness. Not just fixing something specific, but a completeness, a fullness of well-being. Do you want to become whole? Is a way that we can conceive this question of Jesus. And I think that's not only helpful for us as we consider this question ourselves, but it also is helpful as we get to the end of the scripture passage. Because it doesn't say how long. Maybe it was later that day. Maybe it was later in the week that Jesus is in Jerusalem. But at some point, the paths of Jesus and the once paralyzed man, they cross again, this time at the temple. And again, Jesus initiates the conversation. Hey, you're walking. You've been healed. That's great. But you need to stop sinning. I mean, you've been healed, you've been made well, but you haven't been made whole. And that's what matters.
And Jesus doesn't say it in so many words, but the comments here imply the coming judgment. And in that time, in that moment, it will not matter if you can hop, skip, or jump. What matters is if your heart has been healed, if your soul has been saved, that you have been made whole. Do you want to get well? It seems like an odd and an almost silly question for Jesus to ask, but it's such a critical one for us to consider today. Do you and I want to get well? Do you and I want to be made whole? See, wholeness is not found in the things of this world. Wholeness is not given through some sort of physical healing. Wholeness is not found in a strict adherence to a to-do list. Wholeness is not given when we expertly cross all the T's and dot all the I's. Wholeness is found in Jesus. And we have to be honest about this passage. Sadly, we do not see that take place in this passage. I mean, yes, the man is healed from his physical condition, and yet he's a little bit of a tragic figure because instead of responding to Jesus' call to stop sinning, what does he do? He basically goes and rats out Jesus. He rats him out to those Jews who are so ingrained in following the law, they're going to miss the fact that the good news is that Jesus fulfills the law. And the combination together of this man and of these Jews, they come together in verse 15, and it's going to lead to some troubling times for Jesus. In fact, if you just want to read the next verse, it's the beginning of the persecution against Jesus. But more to us now in this moment, that's where our focus is. As we look at this sign, and as we consider the deeper meaning that John wants us to receive this morning about Jesus, the same question is going to continue to be before us, Westview. Do you want to get well? Really, the question is this. Do we want to find everything we could ever want and need in Jesus? Because that's what he offers to you and to me. I mean, yes, in Jesus' name, I believe there can be healing. Yes, in Jesus' name, I believe that there can be the restoration of relationships. Yes, in Jesus' name, I believe that there can be the provision of something that we need. Yes, in Jesus' name, there can be the oppression of the oppressions can cease. All that and so much more is true in the name of Jesus. But also in the name of Jesus is the wonderful gift of wholeness, which gives us the gift of hope, gives us the gift of joy, gives us the gift of peace, the gift, as we say it here at Westview, the gift of rest. Because that's our purpose, as we understand it from God. Our purpose here at Westview is this thing called rest. That we are creating space for ourselves and for our community. That means for you and me and for this community around us. That we are creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ, to find rest in Jesus, to find wholeness in Jesus Christ, to know that when we put our trust and we put our hope and we put our belief in Jesus, our identity, who we are, is secure in Jesus Christ. Not in what the world says, not in what situations are before us, no matter what comes our way, there is wholeness that is offered by Jesus, and that is where we find our rest. And Westview, if we want to be well, if we want to be made whole, we need to look no further than to Jesus, because he brings a wholeness to us that is so much more than physical healing. He brings a wholeness to us that is so much more than achieving some sort of set standard. Wholeness is found in Jesus when we turn our longing when we turn that over to him. When we put our trust in Jesus, when we surrender our lives to him, when we recognize that Jesus is the one in whom there is nothing else needed, when we turn to Jesus, we find rest, because in Jesus there is abundant and eternal life for all who believe, for each and every one of us who want to be made well. So let me just ask us one more time, Westview, do you want to get well? Do we want to be made whole? Do we want to find rest? Then we put our hope and our trust in Jesus. Amen. Let's pray together. God, we give you thanks today for the wholeness that we can receive in Jesus. I think each and every one of us this morning, God, would, you know, we just know ever so clearly the hurts that really do hold us down. the frustrations that foil our efforts, the pain that prevents progress, the sin that so easily entangles. God, we name today, we live amongst brokenness, and we see ever so clearly in our lives, we see this ever so clearly in our relationships, we see this in systems, and we see it throughout the world. We see the stain of sin. And God, we name that we not only see it, but we feel it. And God, we confess this morning to you that ever so often we seek wellness in all sorts of different places. And sometimes we recognize that in that search, it can lead to even greater depths of pain. So God, we pray today together that we might set our sights on Jesus. May we place our hope in him. May we find our rest in him. He not only the one who heals every disease, but the one who bridges every gaps, reconciles every relationship, fulfills every requirement, forgives every sin, and restores us from death to life. Because we claim today, we know Jesus is the one who lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for all of our sins, and he rose triumphantly from the grave, securing life, securing that wholeness in every form and in every way in him. And so God, may we trust in Jesus and find wholeness and rest in him this day. God, it's in Jesus' name this day that we pray together as a church family, as a congregation, as people gathering here. Whether we've been here for years or first time here, we're together in this space. And so we lift our prayer to you together today. And we pray for this wholeness we've been talking about to come upon this world that you love. There's conflicts and there's hatred and there's enmity that just seem to rule the day. Would your shalom, your peace, your wholeness, your completeness come on earth as it is in heaven? God, we pray today for our local communities who grieve, but especially so some specific families within our communities, neighbors and classmates of our kids who grieve the loss of loved ones this day. We ask that your comfort would come upon them all. God, we pray for your ever-gracious presence to be with Brian and Debbie in these moments and through these days. God, we pray for your protection and safety for many who are traveling in this week ahead. And God, we also today give you thanks for your provision, your healing upon Marv. May further strength come. We give you thanks today too for the precious gift of life of Peyton. And we celebrate with Brady and Emily this day. May she grow strong and healthy and be led always by your covenantal love. God, we just also thank you today for ministry that's happening here, for discovery hour and youth groups and lock-ins, for speakers and date nights, for gatherings and connections, for care and support as we share life together. We're grateful for this community and for all who are a part of it. And may we here at Westview in all things continue to seek you, God, and seek to create space for ourselves and for our community to find rest in Christ, that wholeness that is found in him. May it be so, we ask all of this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray this in his name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.